busy cast. This is the busy cast.
It is Labor Day weekend.
There you go. Really, you should not be surprised. We're gonna have some noises in the background, and I hope everybody can bear with us. I have Kim Smith with me today.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And Karen Pischke is with us today.
Good morning, Gloucester.
It's Schooner Festival weekend, one of the best Gloucester weekends of the year.
Yes, it is.
Mark Ring and Kara Ring were here this morning, and we were talking, and we started talking about the Schooner Festival and how we both had the same thought yesterday. I went on my first whale watch yesterday.
Oh, you did?
And it was amazing.
First ever.
My first whale watch ever. Wow. Which is insane at almost 50 years old that happened.
Well, you're kind of a busy guy.
Definitely. In this time of year, where you would go out is the time of year where it's
insanely
busy.
Right.
But coming back on that, leaving the harbor of Gloucester and coming back into the harbor of Gloucester, I was just awestruck, and especially on Schooner Festival weekend with the beautiful ships in port.
Yeah.
But Kara Ring was saying, you know, she's been to all, you know, a bunch of different places, different ports, and she honestly believes that Gloucester Harbor is the prettiest port that she's ever been to.
Aww.
Mark said the same thing, and
yeah,
I'd have to agree.
Well, coming from them too, you know,
yeah,
as you said, they've been to so many different places, so
yeah.
So
we have this feeling of this, like, incredible pride. And on Friday, I got these texts from Sofathia that there was 5 overdoses Friday night.
Yeah, I heard about
and
that.
And 1 death out of the 5, which is, you know, which is, and, you know, Mark was saying how, you know, if you go to Lawrence or Lowell any given day, there's probably 9 overdoses or something like that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, 5 overdoses in a day is not normal here. I think that is the bad batch of whatever that these people, or if it's heroin or what it is.
Fentanyl.
Mixed in with the heroin.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So, okay, explain to me.
Yeah.
They don't normally mix fentanyl in with the heroin?
No, it's a super potent narcotic. More potent than morphine.
So is that something new that's happening?
Yeah.
It's fairly new, yeah.
It's fairly new.
Within the last year, I would say.
It's
why is it this one weekend there's 5 of them happen and we haven't had 5 in
a row? I think a fresh supply came in or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, because it, you know, it's probably all coming from a few people. So if it's being distributed, I mean, that's what I was thinking.
That's
I don't
pretty
know
scary.
For sure.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. There's that. Right, and then you juxtapose it, and you know, and I didn't really think about it so much when I was on the whale watch and everything, and I'm coming into the port, I'm thinking to myself, how lucky are we to live here? Kate said the same thing. Kara Ring said all day yesterday, that's all, drive around town yesterday with the Schooner Festival, the night before the block party, how beautiful everything looks, and how unbelievable our city is. It's like, this is the crowning weekend of how incredible it is to live here. And then you juxtapose that on 5 overdoses, because that's what, because the people that live here and participated in this weekend's events, I guarantee you, you came, unless you're part of one of the poor families that lost someone or the kid overdosed, most people in this town are walking away from this weekend saying, oh my God, how lucky are we? This is incredible. There's no place I'd rather be. And I'm sure Monday morning in the news,
the story is
going to be the 5 overdoses.
Don't
you think?
Hopefully it'll be a mix.
Yeah. It'll be a mix.
Hopefully.
But see, the people from out of town that don't understand Gloucester or don't get it, people don't really know about the Schooner Festival. Out of town, that many people don't know about the Schooner Festival or the block party and stuff like that, but they will hear about the overdoses.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. You know what I mean? That's because the people I know from Hamilton and stuff, like, that's what they'll talk about.
That's what they'll talk about, right?
But not that they hate Gloucester, but like that'll be the story that grabs them.
But also, you know, I think people across America are getting more and more used to seeing that as their headlines in their papers every day.
It's a national epidemic.
It's a national epidemic, and it's, you know, but. You're right. That's what that's what people in Manchester and Hamilton and Wenham will think about when they think about Gloucester. I don't know, it's just a hot,
they don't get it until they come, but then they come to the restaurants and then they're like, oh my, or the beaches, and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But the, I'm just saying the story
right.
is going to be that. Right. It's not going to be, they, if they weren't here to witness the vibe,
right.
they're not going to get,
well,
their vibe is going to be completely different than people that were here.
Right. Well, hopefully also, I think, I mean, we're so positive on Good Morning Gloucester, not to toot our own horn, but I mean, that's what we're writing about every day. That's what people are seeing. That's what,
right.
you know, that's the
absolutely.
The power of positivity.
No, no, absolutely yeah. it is.
But,
it absolutely
but the reality is not all is good, you know.
But every town has bad. Yeah, no,
right.
it is. But like, I didn't know that this five overdoses, it wasn't OxyContin.
No, it was fentanyl.
Because a lot of people, like the OxyContin, I think, is more of a problem than the heroin, isn't it?
But the deaths are occurring more. A lot of the deaths are occurring because this heroin that's laced with fentanyl.
Right. And fentanyl, I read, is so deadly dangerous. Like, it can kill the dogs that come to that sniff it out. They're getting injured.
Oh, and even
dying.
Even the police officers that are exposed to it, and the EMTs exposed to it have effects from it too.
Have effects from it.
Really?
Yes.
And they use it. They use it in surgery, and they use it in some cases in the cancer settings for the analgesic effect, the pain relief effect. But it's not meant to.
No, I'm thinking of propofol. Propofol is what Michael Jackson.
Propofol is a short-acting anesthetic.
Oh, okay.
But fentanyl is used in surgery for pain relief, you know, and it's not meant to be used outside of those settings.
Anyway, Schooner Festival and everything else, like, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer, I'm just pointing out. I'm just thankful that we are among those that got to experience, and we know firsthand the beauty of what this town was all about this past weekend.
Yes.
And we're not, we're not really.
So, as Karen was saying, we meet the nicest people at Maritime Gloucester.
Oh, that was incredible yesterday.
But yeah, hats off. You mentioned this in the show notes. Hats off to the Schooner Festival committee members. Kim's going
to
read them off.
Do you want me to read them off?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. So we have Daisy Nell, who's the chair. And then it's a long list, so I'll try to go kind of fast. Amanda Apicelli. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Do you know her? Tracy Arabian, Tom Belf, Peter Bent, Alba Zanson, Ed Boynton, Steve Brown, Liza Browning, Harold Burnham, Jim Calkett, Charlie Clark, Michael Costello, Joanne Crawford, Tom Daniel, Carol Decker, Nancy Dudley, Stephen Edick, Tom Ellis, Robert LaPierre, James Lowell, Laura Lowell, Amanda Madeira, John McCarthy, Jay McLaughlin, Patty Page, Barry Pett, Brett Ramsey, Suzanne Silveira, Devin Smith, Russ Smith, Mary Kay Taylor, Carol Thistle, Brenda Trenfont. I'm not sure how that. Do you know that? I don't know that. And Peter Weber. So
I had no idea that there was that many committee members.
No, me neither. And to do, I mean, I think it's got so many moving parts that you need all these people to help, and you know.
I had no idea. I figured it was probably about nine or ten people.
Me too. But when I looked it up, I was like, whoa. So, and we recognize so many of those names.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we do.
People who are so active and do so much for the community.
I was even thinking about that yesterday, about how much work goes into organizing an event like this.
Yeah, it's a year-round job. I'm sure it's a year-round
job. And the Saturday part, for the Heritage Days, where they invite, you know, they have all the tents and stuff, and all the artisans are down there, and
that was awesome.
Just really cool.
So fun.
That was awesome.
The kids love that. I didn't get down.
You didn't,
because we were after the schooner, we went on the Cape Ann Whale Watch, which was amazing. And when we got back, the kids were starving. We went to Latitude, and after that, they were so pooped out, they just went.
So did you see a lot of whales?
We saw some great, we saw some fin whales and some humpbacks.
Wow.
We think the three of them were, one of them was pregnant. And they were so knowledgeable and so great.
The educators.
One thing that kind of, like people that have been on whale watches understand how great whale watches are. Something that jumped out at me during the course of our day was that a lot of people probably don't know, is Cape Ann Whale Watches, where their office is, they have a gift shop there that is literally one of the best gift shops in this town.
Really? Oh, wow.
They have the best hat selection. We bought 3 hats. 3 baseball caps.
Oh, that's good to know.
And one of them was a cap that Kate saw probably about a month ago. She loved it. It was on a guy that was walking by. She goes, I love that hat. She's been looking for it ever since.
Oh,
and it was from
it
there.
What does it say?
It's this kind of retro, kind of surfer kind of hat. And it just says Cape Ann on it with raised lettering. But it's navy blue visor with a white. And it has like navy blue like lines that kind of go from big, almost like a sunset lines. Oh, they go smaller as they go higher. Very cool, very retro. Madeline got a green hat, like a weathered canvas hat that had a whale tail on it, a blue whale tail. But it had it was like the felt one, like I've been trying to get made that I can't find someone that does this embroidery. So it's like they're really high end, great hats. And
I would have shared that with you there at the gift shop. Ask the person.
Yeah, I have someone that's working on a hat with embroidery.
It's not embroidery. It's an applique. It's a felt patch that goes on a hat.
Okay.
It's not embroidery.
Hmm.
It needs to be stitched on. It's not embroidery.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I want.
Hmm. Okay.
And it's driving me nuts.
Well, I bet so you
hopefully somebody that hears the podcast will come up with the solution.
You know, so the thing about the hats and the t-shirts, I've kind of like, I love doing them because it's kind of like a hobbyish.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't make a lot of money on them.
No.
And so, like, every sale, by the time you get done packaging it and shipping it and everything else, it's like a couple dollars.
Right, it's a labor of love.
It is a labor of love. And it's more, I really make them because I have a vision of a hat that I want for myself. So I need to order so many units so that they can get made.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know.
I know.
You're making t-shirts. There's, especially if you make a certain number and then you make a bunch of t-shirts are the worst because you make sizes and, like, inevitably you have a ton left over of certain sizes. And, it's not a moneymaker. Like, people think it's not a moneymaker.
Especially if you're ordering small batch, you know.
Yeah.
If your life is good and you order thousands of shirts, the cost goes down, but small batch orders...
And you're not going to sell thousands of shirts around here because it's just not... There's only X amount of people that want a Gloucester shirt or whatever. But I mean, I think Scott sells a lot of stuff of Cape Pond Ice, but his stuff was in the movie.
Yeah.
So he's like advertising every day.
Every day, right. And also... He does pretty high volume over there, right? With all the tours and stuff.
I think so. Yeah, people are coming through, and it's a it's a thing.
I've had an idea for an apron for a long time that I want to put on my website with butterflies and stuff on it. But I know it's going to be like a lot of money up front.
It's going to be money up front.
Yeah.
But it's like getting to the post office.
Yeah.
And like shipping, you won't believe what it costs now. It's like. Shipping in the past like 10 years has doubled or tripled.
Yeah.
So
it's a labor of love.
It is labor of love, no question about it.
More about getting messages out too, you know. Like you have your Good Morning Gloucester t-shirts.
It's more of the design and I love designing a cool logo and like making it a reality, and I really like a certain type of hat, so I want to produce this hat.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, let's so Cape Ann Whale Watch. I just can't recommend them enough.
Okay, great.
They were awesome.
You know,
like, soup to nuts. They run a first-class operation. Boat is clean. I'm going to say this. If I could give them one suggestion, a business suggestion, they should go up on their canteen prices.
Oh, really?
I didn't get a beer because it was a morning thing.
Right.
But it was only $3.25 for a beer.
Oh, that's nice. Very reasonable.
Nowadays?
Well, how much is it?
Like, they have a captive audience.
Right.
But how much are the tickets to go on the whale watch? So maybe they account for that.
Maybe. But I mean, again, you go anywhere. You go to Florida, you go anywhere on a tour, and they have you captive.
Right.
They are pounding you every place, every chance they get.
Right,
and you know what? You just kind of like, you eat it.
Right.
And you don't really want anyone getting crushed on a boat anyway. So you can charge. You can. Listen, 325, he could go to 450 or 425 and no one would bat an eyelash.
So are we talking Budweiser or craft brew, though?
I don't know. I didn't even look. Kate was the one who mentioned. She's like, beer is 325. I'm like, what are you crazy? They crazy? So that was my thought on that. So, but yeah, if you want to go get hammered, like we always talk about good opportunities to get hammered in this town. Like the, you can bring wine and beer into the you buy it at the concession at Gloucester Stage, and if you're a closet alcoholic, you can tell your significant other that you're going to a play, but really you're just going there to get crushed up in the stand. Right? We always find these opportunities for hardcore alcoholics to get their drink on.
That's another problem.
I perked up when... Who shared that with us? Was it Catherine who told us that? Catherine Ryan?
I think it was Heidi.
We talk about every time we have the Gloucester Stage people and we bring it up because it's just a thing now.
Because it sounds like a fun idea.
Kim, let's talk about the you brought this to us, the GoFundMe, Rockport, Mass to Rockport, Texas.
Texas, yeah. So
they started out trying to raise what?
$5,000.
That was their goal.
Right, and then I noticed it went up to superseded that, it went up to $10,000. And then when I went to check on them this morning, their new goal is $50,000, but they've raised $30,850.
That's a huge success.
Awesome.
And I've been hearing lately that they need more help with money down there than items, because they've been overwhelmed with items.
Right.
But they really need... Somebody was saying that they were sending Amazon cards, which seemed like a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Because then they could use it for a variety of things.
Like, well,
I could see them getting, going the wrong... not getting... Like, I feel like if you donate to the Red Cross or a legit organization, maybe the money's going to get there.
Right.
I feel like if you ship Amazon cards down there, that they're gonna.
Somebody else is gonna take the money away.
There's no really accounting for it. What?
Yeah, I guess it would depend on who receives them and how they allocate them.
That's right. So
that's
I don't know. I don't know. I think sometimes they have these things and there's a lot of scams that surround them too. So, I don't know if the Red Cross is the best one, but at least. They're probably vetted in some way.
The Red Cross had a lot of bad publicity with Haiti, but now they're doing this full-on campaign where they're talking about that 91 cents out of every dollar
goes
to relief, not to administrative costs.
There you go.
They've been very powerful in their messaging this disaster around.
And they're right there at every disaster.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's probably the one I would pick. Karen, before we get off track, I just want to thank you for the herbs you brought.
You're very welcome.
Sometimes the podcast ends and
they smell so good.
And what were they?
It's lemon verbena.
Lemon verbena.
What's the difference between lemon verbena and lemongrass?
It's very different.
Oh, really?
Kim knows more than I.
They both have a little lemony scent. Smell bad.
Yeah, no, it definitely smells
lemon. Lemon verbena, you can use to make wine. You hate that too. I'm so sorry.
Sticking your fingers all over it. It smells like lemongrass. I don't know why.
Lemongrass is used in a lot of Thai dishes.
Yeah.
The lemon verbena is supposed to be really good in tea.
Oh.
Iced tea.
There we go. Kate can have it in her poop tea. Yeah.
And then I heard that you can infuse it into like a vodka. I saw that somewhere advertised.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I bet it would make good vinegar.
It
almost tastes
good
vinegar.
I think it would go with gin.
That would be nice. That would be wonderful.
Actually. I have to give some to John McElhenney. John McElhenney's a gin drinker. Bombay Sapphire.
That's so strong.
That's his drink.
The savory is... How would you describe the savory, Kim?
I use it for... Like, it has a wonderful peppery pungent.
Put it on meat?
Yes, you put it on meat, chicken... I've used it before with potatoes and thyme, and it's I love it.
Nice.
Great.
And it's got a little lemony smell, too.
Yeah, and you're growing these in the garden?
Fresh out of the garden. Freshly picked.
We're going to move on to the Eastern Point Guard, our friend, a guard.
Guard.
The guy that is the guard at the entrance to Eastern Point, and... He got run. You said he got run down by some guy.
Some older man. I think he's in his 70s. Got into an argument with him. Steve tried to explain that the parking lot was filled, the Mass Audubon parking lot at the lighthouse, and he he got very angry, and he barreled through, and he hit Steve, and he kept on driving. And Steve ended up in first the local hospital, and then at Burlington Lehigh. So I'm not sure if he...
My guess is, this is one of my guess.
Yeah.
Hopefully that there's nothing like long-term.
Term, yeah.
Because this might be really end up being a nice thing for Steve.
Yeah.
If he has say you get a, because think about this, you get some, the setup is some wealthy Eastern Point guy, right? Because this, everybody hates wealthy people now, because that's the thing, that's the big, that like, there's nothing more like hip right now than to hate on wealthy people. So if it was some wealthy guy that hit him, and say he has a broken arm, but it heals up all right, but he has discomfort for a little while, Steve might get paid handsomely.
You're talking litigation.
Yeah.
Well, you don't think there's going to be litigation?
My first thought is just, I hope he's okay.
I hope he's okay, yeah, too. I mean, I'm kind of, you understand this is yeah, tongue-in-cheek joking.
They call that a blessing in disguise sometimes, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's even a blessing in disguise. This is joking. Yeah, in case anybody missed the sarcasm. Like it, but it is, I hope he gets paid. Because if someone intentionally did this,
I'm sure that
I think he's going to get paid handsomely.
And they, and, you know, that,
rightfully
that,
so.
That, well, the guy that did it should be arrested for assault.
At first, they didn't press charges, but I think they are going to press charges against the guy who ran him over.
Yeah,
we don't know. We weren't there too, so you know, I don't know any of the details except for what's being told to me. So I don't know if this guy was a horrible old man. Right. Maybe this guy had sight problems, and maybe, you know, we don't know.
No,
the guy,
no.
The guy say, "I'm going to run you over."
Well, no, he argued with him for a long time and said, "This is a public road, and I can have access to it. You can't prevent me from going down there." But in fact, it is a private road, so
you can. From my understanding,
yeah,
is that if you say you're going to the lighthouse, you have every right to go down, drive down that road,
or the Beauport Museum.
Not if the parking lots are filled, because then there's no place to park. So. That's my understanding of it. But I want to say about Steve that he has a job from hell. I think
job from hell.
And he is a remarkable. He has a remarkably sweet disposition. I've seen him. I have seen him help more old people and young people across that busy road there. Mm-hmm. And I think in a lot
we've talked about him in the past, and I agree with you 100%.
Yeah,
this guy goes out of his way
to help people,
not just help people, to be pleasant.
Yeah, he's always polite.
Always a kind or a joking or a nice remark, no matter. And I know that there are people that have attitudes going down there. Mm-hmm. And you know where it comes from, just like what I said. The hating of what Eastern Point stands for in a lot of people's minds, jealousy and wealth shaming. He is the guardian of that.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with. I admire people that have money and have worked hard, and even if they didn't, I don't care. To me, a person is judged on how they treat me and how they treat others, but. To act as though there are not huge numbers of people that hate wealthy people for no other reason. It doesn't matter how nice they are. That then you're kidding yourself.
Well,
you know, in a similar vein, though, the people that take the money at the beaches,
yep,
they're also abused a lot of times when they tell people that the parking's full.
Oh,
they've been threatened.
Right.
They get spit on.
Right. I've heard that too.
Well, that's terrible.
Do you think it's as much people hate wealthy people as there's such a tremendous disparity now that there's the middle class has shrunk and gotten smaller and smaller since the mid-1970s. So there's fewer and fewer middle class. More people are falling into the class of poverty. And then you have people who the wealthiest 1.111% have accumulated the greatest amount of wealth in the last 40 years. So I think it's not a matter so much as wealth shaming as just being very confused and puzzled and not understanding why the middle class has shrunk to such a degree that it has, so few tax dollars go to infrastructure and really important things that help the middle class. And I think it's
jealousy. I think a majority of it is jealousy.
Or it just might be that they want to go somewhere and they're frustrated that they can't get there. You know, they have this plan to go to Eastern Point Light or go to Wingersheek or Good Harbor Beach. They've come all the way from Boston sometimes, and then they're told you can't get in.
The parking lot's filled. Right. Yeah.
I understand that. I it bothers me. Like, I know how hard I've worked for what I've accomplished, and I know that there are people out there that hate me.
But
I'm not wealthy. I am. I have big mortgage and everything. Right. I am not wealthy. Right. And there are times where, you know, you hear people say stuff, and you're like, I fucking work my ass off for what I have.
Right.
And so that's why, you know, so that's why I feel that.
I think when people are angry at the disparity of wealth in this country right now, they're not thinking about somebody like you.
I think most people
are thinking more about the 1.111% hedge fund managers or whoever they are. I'm not saying anything disparaging about hedge fund managers. It's just the way the government is stilted towards, the way things are run now is stilted towards vast wealth, losing middle class, greater poverty. So that's what's happening in this country right now. So it's a trend that's been happening for four years.
As a business owner, and seeing how many lobstermen have boats that are begging, and that are making money, that are begging people to come help them, work for them, that will pay those people good sums of money. How many restaurateurs who cannot find help, great restaurants in town, cannot find people to show up for work, that don't want it in there, and for people to cry, to say that there's no opportunity. There has never, and this didn't just start with Trump, this was with Obama. I don't want to get political, but I'm not saying it's because of Trump. This was in the last administration as well. There has been unbelievable opportunity. To say that there's not opportunity to work and to make something of yourself, in my lifetime, there has never been more opportunity to earn a living wage, in my opinion, than today.
There's jobs right now.
You can go to any trade school, come out, and make a living wage. You can't get people to show up to do trades. So you don't have to have a college education. You can have a trade, and you can make plenty of money to survive. So anybody that's not working right now, unless you have a disability, I don't give a fuck. You're fucking lazy. That's my opinion. Unless you have
a real disability.
That's my opinion.
Yes.
Because there's too many business owners that I know that are begging people to show up for work that can't get people to show up for work.
Well, it's definitely, we have very historically low unemployment right now, which started about a year ago, and it started probably a couple years ago.
It wasn't just this administration. It's been on an uptick for several years.
No, it's good. It's great. It's great for employees because they can ask for more money and better benefits and things like that.
Anyway, so much for not getting political.
Kim,
Tuesday, September 12th, the City Hall meeting about banning the thin plastic bags and polystyrene cups.
Cups, right. Yeah, I'm going to go to that. I hope as many people as possible go to that.
Last we heard, on some type of level, it got
It got knocked down, but they needed to
rewrite it so that
the
it could go forward.
Yeah, so they had some help. I think Greg Verga originally helped write it, and then it went before city council, and then they said, well, can you change this and this and this? And so they've been working on that, and they've rewritten it. So
yeah.
So it should be a really, I'm really hoping it's a very productive meeting. I mean, it would be a great thing for Boston. There's already so many restaurants that are using cardboard containers. I noticed that.
Most of the coffee shops, most of the local coffee shops, not the chain ones,
have stopped.
As long as I can remember, Lone Gull, Cape Ann Coffees have used paper cups.
Cape Ann Coffees, I know that Cape Ann Brew Pub uses paper to go containers. Because I always pay attention
Happy
to that.
Happy Valley does.
Lone Gull, Little Rest.
Yep. Short and Main, Duckworth, they're all using paper. I'm sure that maybe we should make a list of all the places that
are using. And the paper ones compostable?
Yeah. Are the paper ones? Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, Tom's always, Tom's in charge of our recycling here.
So, Karen, you had... You the Love Fest, your Love Fest.
Well, the Community Love Fest.
Community Love Fest was all over town this past weekend, right?
This past weekend it was at the Block Party and at the Heritage Day, at the Maritime Heritage Day.
For Schooner Festival.
And both of them, we filled two banners each. And what was really fun was, because it was a Block Party, there was a lot of people that came from other cities. I met people from Boston and Swampscott there.
So, yeah, brief, just quickly explain
the Love Fest, it's a community interactive art project that started in May, and it's been traveling through all the different Gloucester neighborhoods where people come up and write on a big banner roll of paper messages of love.
It's a big, like, easel type of thing with a big sheet of paper, and it says, what does love mean to you?
Correct.
And so it's traveled around. And you've invited people to write their messages, what love means to them.
Correct.
That's the way to break it down. It's not a big,
It's not a festival.
Right.
Yeah, because in the beginning they were talking to me about having to get permits. I'm like, no, this is an art project.
Right.
So it's been through 17 venues. We've had 19 Love Fests at 17 venues. And so far there's 21 banners. And those banners are all going to be brought together and on display at City Hall the week of September 18th through the 21st, from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. And the 21st of September is the UN International Day of Peace.
Oh, wait, City Hall, it's going to be at City Hall what?
September 18th through the 21st, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The 21st is the UN International Day of Peace, so having them there that week, it symbolizes the community joining together in love and peace. And it's been really interesting, the different things that people write. Every venue has a different essence in the messages that are shared. And all I ever tell people is, write a positive message. And so at the Writer Center, when we had it at the Gloucester Writer Center, people were writing a lot of quotes and things. At the Cape Ann Animal Aid, when we had it there, a lot came out about love of animals. At the Heritage Day, a lot of people were talking about love of the ocean. And I've met the nicest people doing this.
That's fantastic. So September 18th, the culmination of all of this work from all these months, you'll be able to, I imagine that's going to be very uplifting to go check out all the banners and read all the messages. So go check that out. How's your Gloucester Tees doing?
Well, a quick note. I'm hoping that with the Love Fest display that schools might be able to bring children through so that they... Because the children have been some of the most...
Is it a week? Is it a school week?
Yes, it's a school week, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So that would be really awesome to have the kids...
They have to get permission slips, right?
They have to do it as a field trip.
Yeah.
But what was really striking to me yesterday was a 10-year-old girl from Rhode Island came up to me and she said, this is so inspiring. The world really needs this.
Yes.
A 10-year-old.
There you go.
So the kids are really even in need of this. So, and I can't even begin to tell you how much support I've had from the different venues and all the people behind it, which, unlike Kim, I'm not going to name them all here, but they're all going to be named in the paper and at the display. So, and the Gloucester Tees,
it's your t-shirt line.
It's a t-shirt line, and it's really about getting out positive messages too. And What's really taken off from the t-shirt line, though, is the Gloucester-specific t-shirts, which we did for the fun of it. And we're in four stores now. We're at the Gloucester Charter Connection, the Willow Rest, the Bells and Bait and Tackle down in Scituate is carrying some of our shirts. And the most recent store is the Dory Shop. Gino Mondello is carrying the Come to Gloucester Just for the Halibut shirts starting this weekend. So we're excited about that. And Dreamtime Wellness, my other business, we're starting up our community Reiki shares next Tuesday.
What does that mean? Community Reiki share. So, what does that mean?
So Reiki is a relaxation technique that began in Japan in the 1920s. And
but what is the share part?
The share means people can come and enjoy a Reiki session. It's a group of Reiki practitioners. Usually Reiki shares are done in a group, so it's a combination of Reiki practitioners, many of them who have been my students. It's a training venue for my students. But then the general public can come and have a Reiki session at a very affordable rate.
And so if you have any questions about Reiki, this would be a good time to do it. When is that?
It's first Tuesdays from 5:15 to 8:15 at the Manchester Community Center.
And first Tuesdays?
First Tuesdays of the month. And we donate a portion of the proceeds to different charities every month.
First Tuesdays at the Manchester Community Center?
Manchester Community Center.
Oh, there you go.
Which is over there at Harbor Point by the railroad station.
Excellent. All right. So what time does this, what time do you go from what to what?
5:15 we start.
5:15 p.m.
It ends at 8:15, and people that want to have a session, we ask that they contact us ahead of time so we can arrange for them to have a session.
There you go.
And it's just a really peaceful evening. Very relaxing.
Your husband, Michael Chamness, he's got his schooner photos at the Lone Gull.
Yes.
Currently.
Yes, and it was funny. Mary Ellen said that it was really interesting that his schooner pictures happened to be there during Schooner Festival, and he said, "Do you think that was by chance?"
Yeah.
He actually signed up probably 2 years ago.
Ah, wow.
Knowing that this week was Schooner Festival, and these are from the 2013 schooner race.
Oh, wow.
So.
You know what's wild is that the it's really nice. Catherine Ryan does posts like this all the time, pointing out all the different coffee shops and restaurants that allow local artists to put their stuff on their walls. And it's a win-win. The restaurant gets a makeover with new art. The artist gets to display and potentially sell their work. And the consumer gets to consume the work, so it's all a win.
Yeah, so the support of local artisans has been great at places like the Lone Gull. And
I want to talk. I want to give my weekly shout out. Big shout out is going to my boy Chuck Shoebridge, who makes the Good Morning Gloucester stickers for us, and he made up a fresh batch of Good Morning Gloucester. We went back to the retro, to where it all began. The retro sticker. Take a couple,
that's
Karen.
That's my favorite one.
That, you know what? The navy blue with the gray wing, that's my favorite one, too. And Chuck produces it for us. If you go to the blog, if you go to www.goodmorninggloucester.com, in the right-hand column, there is instructions on how you can get one for free. All you have to do is send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Captain Joe and Sons, care of Joey C., 95 East Main Street, Gloucester, Mass. And if I will put a couple stickers back in the self-stamped addressed envelope and send it back to you. They're great stickers. And you know what's great? When I'm in other states and I'm driving with Kate or something, mm-hmm. and we see the sticker, I always get a big charge out of that. They're all over the place.
Somebody,
they're all over the country, all over the world.
Somebody posted a sticker that they saw in Hawaii recently.
Hawaii, we've had them in front of the Kremlin. We've had them. We've had them at the highest peak in the world. We've had them on the Great Wall of China. Someone sent them. The sticker has traveled well. But thank you to Chuck Shoebridge, the guy that produces the stickers for us. And what's really cool about if you take the time. And you just kind of cut around the edges of the outline of the sticker, and you can make it look custom. They look really awesome. They look even better on the back of your car. That's what I do with mine. I had an excellent, excellent dining experience this week at Feather and Wedge in Rockport.
Great restaurant.
Oh my God. I had pan-seared scallops over a risotto that had corn and peas in the risotto. It was one of those meals where every single bite, you wanted it to last 20 minutes in your mouth because it was that delicious. And you just, and I savored, I rarely savor every bite of a meal because I'm always in a hurry to eat. I sat down, I savored every bite of that meal at Feather and Wedge. They have a great staff. They have great chefs. The place is awesome. So kudos to Rockport for having that place.
And what a great place to go to dinner before Shaolin and Lu performances, too.
You know, I am sure that they have a symbiotic relationship.
If not, they should.
What do you mean? Like I'm sure just, they help each other.
Yeah.
How could they not?
But I'm even thinking, I don't know.
I'm not talking about a relationship like that. You get 10% off your meal. I'm talking about a relationship that because they are there, the Shaolin Lu has people that make a night of that. Whereas if there's not really many other fine dining restaurants in Rockport, there's a couple, but not a whole lot. So that the Shaolin Lu benefits from them being there. They benefit from the people can park, go to both venues, and make a night of it in Rockport, because Rockport's a commitment for a lot of people outside of people that live in Rockport.
Right.
So if you can double bang it, it's fantastic. So there's that. I didn't get to the Schooner Festival. At the Heritage Center. Mm.
It was amazing. You know who was there that I met? You're a good friend of Good Morning Gloucester, the captain of the Green Dragon.
Alba Zanson.
Yeah.
That was salt of the earth.
So I got to meet him for the first time, and he was telling me all about his fish cakes, the fish cake recipes that he posts on Good Morning Gloucester.
I wonder how much time a day Al thinks about fish cakes. He is a fish cake fanatic.
Well, I think we should have a fish cake contest and have Al judge it. Because he said...
With having a fish cake contest is? You have to have a place that you can fry fish. So where do you have a place that you can have enough frying pans going at the same time?
Well, they do the fish tasting contest, right? So they have the portable grills for that, don't they?
Who hasn't?
I don't know, but...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But he was saying that, you know, the true fish cakes are salt cod, and we couldn't think of anyone locally who makes their fish cakes with salt cod. Do you know of anyone?
I'm sure. I'm going to tell you right now. I know that Al knows the answer to this.
He was telling me that he doesn't think there's any here in Gloucester. He gets his from Hudson, Mass.
Well, there you go. So someone's missing an opportunity.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
The fish cakes that we used to eat, the Italian guy, you know, Leo the Flounder, he was an old timer that hung around the dock when Frank, my cousin Frank and I were working, handling ground fish, and he would make fish cakes, but he would always get like a sow hake, a big, huge hake, and make fish cakes out of the hake. A lot of people make them out of hake. Mr. Gobskill is here. Did you go down to the Schooner Festival at all?
Yes, we did. Actually, there was 13 of us, but we didn't go downtown. We got on the hurricane, and it was the most amazing experience that I've had in a long time here, and I come here a lot.
Did you go because I said, are you going to go down there? And you're like, I don't know, I'm going to go dig some clams.
But it was
worth your time, right?
It was probably one of the best experiences I've had probably in the last 10 years.
This is the thing. Like the Schooner Festival, I try to explain to people. Like Kate's parents were down last weekend, and I said, you're here, and it's really nice out and everything. But you really, really ought to come next week. It's such a spectacle. Let me
tell you what made this a little more unique.
Go ahead.
Was that, there were other whaleboats out taking people on to watch the fireworks in the Schooner Festival, you know, in the boat, the light parade with the schooners and the other boats. And what was very, very nice was that the when the boat, well, the thing I really learned that made it so unique when I did this cruise on the Hurricane is all these years I've come to the boulevard and watched the boats go by and stuff like that. And I thought they just went by the boulevard. I just had a narrow vision. I did not realize that those boats go all the way around the entire harbor. And the real peach of all this was that our boat compared to the other boats, and I'm not knocking the other boats, this captain we had, he was moving that boat in all kinds of positions so that we had the best view. And as these boats came in a line led by the police through the harbor, after they did the full harbor, they came back and they actually went around our boat. We were like 50 feet.
Jesus.
Nice.
And so we really got a close-up that we really were not able to get right off the boulevard.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking the boulevard. That's a blast.
Yeah.
But that was one of the most unique things that we saw. And they actually put on such a show for us on that boat.
That's why so many people like going out in the boats.
It was very affordable. I mean, you know, you're comfortable. You didn't have to bring lawn chairs. So that was exceptional. And you got a chance, you could actually hear the people on the boats as they're coming by.
Absolutely.
With their message. And it was just awesome.
And probably a lot of people might not even know, Joey, that you can get tickets to go out on the boats in the race even.
I think that, you know, that's that another great take is actually you can go on, you can participate in the actual race tomorrow. Again, the race got canceled for today. They're going to race tomorrow. You can go aboard one of these boats that's actually racing.
That's amazing.
That's what I want to do.
If they get too many people on those boats, though, I would think that they're going to have a little weight problem in running the race.
Well, they have a cap,
fun, right?
They have a cap of how many, I'm sure. And I think, is it 26 schooners?
Uh-huh.
Is it 26 schooners by here that are here?
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And let me get back to, I wanted to also mention, too, what the other part of that uniqueness of having done it from the water was that we actually, the captain drove the boat by a lot of the yachts that were anchored right along the harbor, and there was somebody doing a narrative about the boats, the histories, you know, nothing really lengthy, but enough to give you a piece of the knowledge so that it kind of informed you what the history of this boat was and
mm-hmm.
that person to Gloucester. It was phenomenal.
Well, the
we were close.
So
we were
rich.
Really close. I mean, you're saying this boat's like 115 feet long, and we're not even 100 feet away from it. And, you know, the boats had their lights on, you know, on top
mm-hmm.
of the masts and stuff. So it was a side of Gloucester that I have not seen from that angle. And it was like an artist bringing you something in a picture that you didn't quite appreciate before because you didn't see it from that angle.
Being up close and personal.
Oh, man, it was personal.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was just an exceptional experience. And everybody in our group, they went crazy. We want to do this again next year. We heard that they actually had an event in Rockport that the same boat went up to participate like this parade. Well, I think it was last year, a year before.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Rockport, Mass?
Yeah, right up here. And they had some kind of event, maybe kind of comparative to what was going on here, but separate from here, not at the same date. And it was a big hit. So it's something we definitely want to do again.
And once is not enough. I met this gentleman yesterday from, I think he said he was from Connecticut. He was a deckhand on the Pride of Baltimore at the Tall Ships in Boston, and he had an opportunity to be out in the water. And he'd been down at the Tall Ships and he'd been a deckhand, but he said seeing the Columbia, and he was out in a small Boston whaler, and he said to see the Columbia from that perspective, like
mm-hmm.
you're saying, Bob, was just amazing.
Yeah, it was just you couldn't have seen it from the same view. You know, what you're seeing from the water is the hull, everything. What you see from the dock is just the deck, basically. And so it was like looking at a portrait when you went by these boats. And so I think that was something that was full of richness. I'm not new to the scene here, and I was very impressed.
I hope they have a great day for the race tomorrow.
I think they're going to have a gorgeous day for the race.
It's supposed to be a good day. I mean, the weather keeps changing while I've been watching it, but even the rain that we're supposed to get doesn't seem as heavy as they initially said yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but we'll see. You never know, because Gloucester's got a funny dynamic with rainstorms, because they might use, a lot of times they cut south or north and miss us entirely.
I want to shout out, the Rocky Neck Art Colony has a new director, executive director. Her name is Catherine S. Amadon. Amadon comes to Rocky Neck Art Colony with a deep background in art history and nonprofit arts management, while most recently serving as the founding director of the Museum of the White Mountains at Plymouth State University in New Hampshire, which, much like Rocky Neck Art Colony, was established to introduce people to and showcase the story, culture, and legacy of the region. So welcome to her. I never heard of her, and sometimes it's nice to have outside blood with new perspectives. So many times we have, we promote people from within that like have been around, and you get more of the same. But sometimes it takes a pair of eyes from that came from someplace else to put a fresh spin on things. So Rocky Neck is due for some big changes next year, with Madfish Wharf being, I don't know what the, it seems like they're fixing it up right there. Joe Fish, I hope he comes back doing the fish prints, because yesterday I saw he did the fish prints again. He has kids. He takes a striper or a tuna fish tail, and they'll print T-shirts and stuff. And
that would have been fun to have him at Heritage Day, because they usually have the fish printing there. I didn't see fish printing yesterday.
Yeah. He probably...
So they actually use the fish body?
Whole fish, or the fish tail, or... Yeah. It is... His work is amazing. I am lucky enough to have one of his framed things for my living room. I have not hung it yet because I don't know how to hang things because I'm a dummy.
It's okay.
I thought I saw it hanging in your living room.
No, I was holding it up.
Oh, okay.
Where I'd like to have it hanging, but I'm a dummy, so I haven't hung it because I'm afraid to drive nails.
You know something? You're giving it a lot of thought so that when you really put it up, you're going to appreciate it more. That's really what you're looking at.
Well, my friend James Eves told me he's going to help me in them. I know he's really busy at work, so I'm trying not to pressure him. He said he was going to help me. Because I'm going to get... James and Anna have these really cool...
Word collage.
And really nice colors, and he can actually change the colors to any to whatever you, the theme, your room is. So we wanted to do a Gloucester one and put that on one of the walls.
And he's got them for every KPN town.
He does,
too. Yeah.
And they're really pretty. And
it sounds like that would belong in even Kakapia in the City Hall.
What?
It sounds like something like that could be in City Hall.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of.
Is it in that kind of sink? I don't know.
It would belong in any beachy house.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It doesn't really need to be anyone's house. It's beautiful.
Anyone who
it's
likes
really cool.
The city.
Huh?
Anyone who likes the city. It's
anyone
a cool
who likes
thing
the city.
Have.
Yeah. They have them for.
Everybody gets a different thing when they come here, but there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's really what the draw of Gloucester is that there's something for everybody.
It's very rich and diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And what it has to offer, which is what I love about it.
Hey,
Joey, you know the Harvest Music Festival is happening again. September 16th.
What is that?
It's a fundraiser for the Friends of Addison Gilbert Hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Carol Palazzola and Lise Wachla.
Yeah, they mentioned it a couple of days ago.
But we are having another Love Fest there. So Love Fest is ending. We thought it was going to end this weekend, but it's actually rippling out. They're talking about having one in Manchester and possibly Rockport now, too.
It's blowing up.
Rippling out. And so the Harvest Music Festival, September 16th. They're still looking for vendors for that, too.
September what?
September 16th.
And where is it?
It's at the 14C2 lot there, 65 Rogers. I-4C2 on Rogers Street. And it's from 10:30 to 8 o'clock, and it's only $20 for the tickets.
10:30 a.m. to what?
8 p.m. They're going to have live music, food, local brews, local artisans.
Very nice, very nice. All right, cool. All right, that's the Gloucester Cast for September 3rd. We're in September. It's a couple months and we'll be talking about snow. My firewood is stacked, so I'm good. Thank you for coming, Karen.
Thanks, Joey.
Mr. Bob Skill. is in the house. It's all right. Bill Bobscale. And for Kim Smith, this is Joey Shimotaro. Happy everybody. Have a great holiday weekend. Thank you.